Welcome to the Shutdown Foolcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. This is an emergency on the college football dance floor. And by that, we mean the type of intrigue and scandal that only this podcast can meet at its level. We talk about meeting conversations at the level that they deserve. And I think we are the only people in the universe, the only ones who can properly engage it on the correct level. There are a number of people who are on this podcast who are not normally on this podcast. We have them on for reasons.
I only see one person who's on this podcast who's not normally on this podcast.
There's somebody who's always on this
podcast.
And yeah,
it's me.
Yeah, it's Ryan. I am joined by Ryan Annie and Holly Anderson as always. Jason Kirk is busy
in Epcot.
At Epcot, where he always is and lives. And we are joined, as always, by Brian Floyd. Brian doesn't feel the need to say anything. He doesn't have to. He's just always part of the show. And we are also joined by special guest Jessica Smetana from the Levitard Show, Metalark, and I think most notably from the Formula One podcast that we do together. Hi,
do you remember the name of it?
Okay, yes, good. DNF.
I was waiting for him to pull up.
No, because it took me a second, and I was like, Ryan's going to be a jackass and remember and ask me if I remember the
it's
name.
Only
knowing
a
that it would take me a second to do it. See if you get on
Ryan,
it this year, Ryan,
Ryan's
in the year
the
of
jackass.
Ryan being on podcast.
Ryan's gonna, boys, you can't
blacklisted.
Fight. Boys, you can't fight on January 6th. Come on.
I would also like to plug my founding membership of the Sam Hartman at Notre Dame fan club today. This is our inaugural day of the fan club, and everyone's welcome to join.
All right.
I'm so mad that y'all got him because he's so cool. He's like Captain. He's like Captain Fuck It Someone Down There. Like, he's the best.
How long do you think we could let Spencer talk about this before we get to the emergency topic?
We're going to get to the emergency topic right now. In fact, I'm just going to hand it off to Holly. Holly, tell him why we're here.
Folks, if there were ever a coach in our orbit who you might cite as being too much dad and not enough uncle, I think we can all agree Jim Harbaugh's at the top of that list.
Mm-hmm.
And word, but let's see, it is early Friday afternoon, January 6th, as we're recording this. Early last night, January 5th, word began to trickle down from Michigan about, I'm not even going to pull up the headline because I frankly don't care what number of violations Michigan is being hit with by the NCAA. But one thing I think stood out to everybody immediately when we saw these headlines, I believe from Dan Wetzel, long may he reign, who I've heard this morning that Dan Wetzel had this story before a lot of people at Michigan had this story.
Daddy.
And this is, when I say long may he reign, this isn't sarcasm. But the bit of the headline that stood out to me was Michigan hit with failure to cooperate with the NCAA.
Very January 6th of them, actually.
Yeah, even though it was January 6th Eve. And we're like, okay, of all conferences and of all the schools in this one conference, you get Michigan tagged with a failure to cooperate. And we have, as Michigan grads ourselves, we have a lot of tenderness for our home institution. Ryan, Spencer, and I all have multiple doctorates from the University of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're going to pull together today, we're going to tell you a little story today. We're going to tell you a what if I told you story that we have pieced together from our friends in Ann Arbor who are perpetually our biggest charity bowl donors who let us come and clown around on the sidelines at their games. And that's not the reason that we think these NCAA charges are stupid. These NCAA charges are stupid because these NCAA charges are, y'all, when I tell you this story, the NCAA is going to come out looking dumber than Michigan. And what Michigan has done here is pretty dumb.
Well, almost in the year 2023, almost the concept of NCAA it's charges quaint. Is stupid. Like, imagine if Blockbuster called you tomorrow and said, hey, you were late returning Legends of the Fall in 1990s. And you'd be like, I don't fucking care. You're Blockbuster. Why would I listen to you now? That's what it's like to get dinged by the NCAA at this point in time.
It's such trash. So anyway, one of the on the list of charges you will see in Dan Wetzel's story is the one that we're focusing on today. The incident that triggered failure to cooperate was, stop me if you're screaming Auburn fans, but Jim Harbaugh had breakfast with had a comped meal with two recruits, two already committed recruits to Michigan, who are currently freshmen at Michigan right now, if I have this correct. Mm-hmm. And this was during the COVID dead period. And the story as it has been relayed to us by sources at Michigan is that these two recruits were passing through town and Jim Harbaugh said, hey, let's have breakfast, which is apparently not an uncommon thing to have happen. And that's not the funny part. The funny part is where they went for breakfast.
Perkins.
Now, close.
Tiger now, Woods didn't go to Michigan.
Now, with the sole exception of Jess, we all went to big state schools. And without pausing for more than 5 seconds, I'm sure that you guys could name A, the Greek diner on campus. Shout out to Gus's. Hello, Knoxville. And B, you could name the local small businessman who roams the sidelines at games and nobody really knows what he's doing down there.
So pause on this briefly. Spencer, does this exist at Florida? Because I'm having trouble. Like, the swamp is the closest thing.
No,
but
because,
that's not
because
really
remember,
it.
Because remember, Florida, it's illegal to have a business open for more than 5 years continuously unless it was like Leonardo's, which even true. Then...
Which that is gone now.
Yeah, even then Leonardo's eventually
Michigan,
got caught.
I would suggest that Hungry Howie roams the sidelines,
no.
But apparently he doesn't even live there.
No, Michigan has traditional things that all other schools have. Florida churns up everything around it like honestly like an alligator that has to clean its nest every 3 or 4 years or it will die. So it just mucks out the stall, destroys every business within like 3 blocks. There are no traditions, nothing. Florida is the nihilist public school experience.
Okay, so in the Florida version of this, it's let's go to a Cracker Barrel 2 exits up.
Let's go somewhere on, yeah, let's go somewhere on Archer Road.
Okay,
right? Yeah,
great. Okay. Awesome.
Okay. So in Michigan, these two concepts take the form of one person whose name is, Periperiakos. My Greek is not great, but I believe his name is Periperiakos. He runs the Little Brown Jug, which, and I say this with all affection in the world, I went to a big state school too. This is not a place where you go for fine dining. This is a place where you go for a slop burger. Right.
It sounds like a rivalry trophy.
It is
like
a rivalry.
It is. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. The Little Brown Jug is a Big
Hell
Ten
yeah,
rivalry.
Nailed it.
It's what, Michigan,
which
Minnesota?
One is I believe it's Michigan, Minnesota.
Yes.
Yeah.
As a Big Ten conference member, you know that, Jess. As an
I think this was also. I think the origin of this trophy also involves like fear of getting poisoned. That's not important.
When you get a shillelagh.
Ooh.
Okay, calm down.
Yeah, settle.
British Museum ass Notre Dame.
Notre Dame and USC fight for the Elgin Marbles.
Why are we fighting? Why are we playing for the Mask of Ra? Don't worry about it. It's ours and we found it.
Don't ask where we got it.
What's wrong NC with- State Notre Dame has fought for the Mask of Ra.
Hey, what's wrong with a graven idol?
Yeah, come on.
There is a huge Hobby Lobby in Mishawaka.
It's all there.
All right, so the Brown Jug
restaurant is the
diner.
The Brown Jug restaurant is the scene of the crime. Now, here is where Jim Harbaugh ran into trouble. He took two recruits to breakfast during the COVID-19 dead period, and he paid for it with a university credit card because Jim Harbaugh is the least gangster human being that has ever lived on this planet. He did not pay cash.
There's a certain kind of person. And that kind of person is a Bud Elliott who's listening to this, and their first reaction is, well, you don't get any points that way. Why would you do that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No points.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me Jim Harbaugh pays for his own glasses of milk in Ann Arbor, Michigan? No. They don't comp that at the Little Brown Jug?
I heard two different versions of this. He may have just, and this is even less gangster because this means it has to get reported to the IRS, he may have just left a tip on the credit card for the server.
Huh.
Because Perry Periakos, who owns the Little Brown Jug, if you go look at his Facebook page, he has his own Big Ten title ring with his name on it. I super doubt that Jim Harbaugh is paying for a burger in this place. If this guy gets a Big Ten title ring. So we did hear from one person that it's possible he may have just left a tip for the server. Again, on his university credit card, which you have to report that tip to the IRS. Tip in cash. Come on, y'all.
So you're telling me Scott Frost would have had a better chance of getting a Big Ten ring if he had opened a restaurant in Ann Arbor than if he had taken the Nebraska job.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Okay, cool. So NCAA, by the way, all of this gets dimed out to the NCAA via the assistant who was acrimoniously ousted from Michigan, who's now at Mississippi State, whose name escapes me.
Do we know that that's true, or is that just the suspicion? I'm curious.
I'm pretty sure that's how some journalists got it before Michigan got it.
Okay, gotcha.
I do not believe they got along well.
Yeah, and so NCAA. Anyway, none of this is the funny part. By the way, none of this is the funny part. The funny part is NCAA investigations roll up and say, Jim, is this your receipt? And Jim says no. And they say, did you sign James Harbaugh? And he says, no. Smash cut to Jim's lawyer jumping up and down in the background, waving his arms, going, just say I don't know. Just say you don't remember. It was a long time ago.
I don't recall.
The farmer was like, no, that wasn't me. So of all the Bruce Pearl ways to get caught feeding recruits illicitly, ones that involve A, your signature, B, your university credit card. There is a third reason. And now we come to the hole at the center of the donut.
There's always Jim Harbaugh
and the recruits were not the only people having breakfast in the restaurant that morning. They were witnessed. And what makes, if he's a morning regular there, what makes that particular Jim Harbaugh visit stand out? Why would he stick in the mind if people were asked if they saw him there on that day? Well, it helps that across from two recruits eating plates of sausages and eggs or whatever, Jim Harbaugh was eating two hamburgers and French fries for breakfast. At 10:30 in the morning.
Yep.
Now, again, the owner of this establishment has a Big Ten title ring. This is conjecture. Is Jim Harbaugh eating two hamburgers for breakfast every day?
Yes. Yes.
This feels like a short leap.
Yeah.
This feels like a very short leap.
This is where I have to bring up the...
I have so much heartburn.
Heartburn.
So this is where I went to the menu of the Brown Jug.
And this is where we discovered it gets worse.
Oh, it gets so much worse.
I'm going to read this verbatim. Our hamburgers are a full half pound of prime Angus ground beef.
It's two half-pound burgers. Thing. Not a double hamburger. Two half-pound burgers.
Mm-hmm.
Jim is eating two brioche buns with a pound pre-cooked of ground beef in the morning.
For breakfast.
Yep.
The other important thing to know about the Brown Jug is that part of its shtick, let's say, almost every item on the menu is named after a Michigan person of some importance. So, for instance, to pull a couple at random, the barbecue ribs are named after Mike Hart. The spinach pie is named after Jay Harbaugh. The pesto chicken pasta is named after famed basketballer and Alaskan lover Glenn Rice.
Hell yes.
The burgers. Top of the list, the famous Brown Jug burger. Just your standard, I want a burger. This is the house. This is the thing. It's named after Jack Harbaugh. So it's entirely possible that
blood
Jim
of my
Harbaugh
blood
walked
burger.
Into this restaurant and said, give me two damn burgers, please.
Okay, I have
Daddy wants me to have two burgers.
I have an alternate theory, because if you scroll down the list, and it's an adjacent but alternate theory, there's a Bo Schemberger. And I'm wondering if he consumes
the
one
Bo Schembechler
burger. I'm wondering if he's splitting and going one of Dad and one of Bo as like an act of religious communion. This is my ground body. Eat of it.
For those wondering, served on grilled sourdough rye bread with grilled onions and cheese. So
it's a patty melt. Ooh.
It is, but they have a patty melt listed separately under Charles Woodson.
This is not the
most confusing thing apart about this menu. Jess, if I gave you three guesses.
Should I be offended there's no menu items named after female athletes? Because it seems like an oversight.
Could you is it possible that female athletes have the good sense to not eat these?
So there are some named after women on this, like the basketball coach, Kim Barnes-Arico. The carrot cake is named after her. I don't know who all these people are, so I apologize. Somebody named Abigail O'Connor gets the jug special omelet. So there are some women on here. Like I said, I don't know exactly. Katie Frauman appears to be the executive associate AD. She gets the chicken lemon rice.
I hope that women's gymnastics are.
I'm sorry. What is the Adam Schefter one?
Oh God.
The Sicilian deep dish. But here's what I want to focus on. Jess, I'm going to give you three guesses. Think of just typical diner menu. This is not something that's like super out there. You would not be surprised. This is not like, what even is that dish? If I gave you three guesses for a diner that serves breakfast and lunch/dinner, Tom Brady's menu item, what is it?
Avocado toast?
Wrong. Try again.
It's going to be really stupid, isn't it?
Your avocado toast is a cold guess. If we're playing hot cold.
All right. Chicken pot pie.
Wrong, but definitely warmer. I think you've gone too far the other direction. So try to split the midpoint of chicken pot pie and avocado toast, and I think you'll get it.
Some sort of patty melt.
That's really, you know what? That's so close, I think I'm going to give it to you, because it's the corned beef Reuben.
Tom Brady has never eaten a corned beef Reuben in his, since leaving Ann Arbor. No.
I don't think he'd even look at a corned beef Reuben for
like
fear
this?
It would fuck
like
up his blood chemistry.
Was he like this in school? We don't know.
Based on his combine photo, no.
Yeah.
No, he was not like this in school.
Oh, simpler times. Simpler times. So, again, if you're Michigan's, like, trustees or whatever, you're dragged in front of the NCAA, I'm assuming via Zoom, and you're hearing about this illegal comped meal, and then you find out what the comped meal was. And my immediate follow-up question to all the people I talked to in Michigan in the last 12 hours has been, why don't you tell the NCAA to eat shit? This is stupid. And the response that I got back was, well, we thought a pretty good plan would be for Jim to apologize and then for the university president to go tell the NCAA to kick rocks, except that we're not sure we can get Jim to apologize.
And for the most meaningless lie in the world.
I was Googling last night to try and figure out. I was like searching last night. I'm like, is this like at the very beginning of this process of trying to find out, is this real? And we're searching last night. We're searching all forms of like Harbaugh burger, trying to find out if this is real. And we always get 3 to 5 people calling this a nothing burger. I'm like, no, man, it's a something burger. But this could be so easily the NCAA attack on supporting local businesses. There are so many ways to pivot this, except we're not sure we can get Jim to apologize.
Why would he apologize for eating 1 pound of ground beef on 2 brioche buns in the morning?
I think for the lying is the thing they want him to apologize for. But in order to do that, he would have to admit it, which he still, as far as we know, has not done.
He was just
being an
American,
Holly. Like, I know Floyd floated yesterday that possibly this is like, I'm ashamed to admit that.
Oh, no way, this is a shame.
Like a 9-year-old who's been given $20 and told to go
eat
breakfast.
This dude made headlines eating McDonald's in France with his wife. I don't think he's bothered by this.
It feels like it has to just be stubborn principle of I will not apologize, no matter what I've done.
Nobody makes me bleed my own burger.
Can I remind you of just the crystalline moment where I realized I understood Jim Harbaugh, and I think it will help to understand this. There's this long QB clinic that you can watch of him. I mean, it's like literally like 2 hours of Jim Harbaugh talking about quarterbacking, and in it he says the following and does the following. One, he says that the best way to get the ball from under center and put your hand in the right position is to put your thumb in the asshole of the center, like right up against the asshole of the center.
That's not food safe, by
the way.
That's
his words. I'm not saying, he's like, yeah, put your knuckle like right up against the asshole. And then he looks up like, you know, the part where the poop comes out, right? Your asshole.
Oh, like, asshole.
Yeah. So like that's the first thing he does. The second thing is he says that the most important factor for a quarterback is I must win, not speed, agility, accuracy or competitiveness. In his brain, most important word is I must win. First of all, Jim, that's three fucking words. That's three fucking words.
Well, he's Catholic, so three can become one. It's fine.
Second of all, when he says this, he hits the overhead projector. And mind you, it is an overhead projector when I know he could have afforded a laptop and some PowerPoint. Okay. But he's got an overhead projector and he hits it. And he breaks the overhead projector.
Yes. That's why he brought the overhead projector.
I must win!
From to break that.
Oh, you think the overhead projector was a patsy?
Absolutely
not. Like,
was
it brought in to die?
Absolutely. Because then now he has to buy a new one. Okay. This is why Ryan fails. This is why Ryan is not a Harbologist. Because he doesn't understand that he doesn't want to pay for a new one because he's at base one of the cheapest human beings alive.
Well, he's putting that on the university credit card as well.
Now we're talking, Daddy.
He's just calling Staples. Send another.
By the time this comes out, he may have apologized, but
yeah.
I don't know how high I think the odds of that are.
Yeah.
There is only one person. We know this. We know this to be true. There is only one person in the entire universe who could sit Jim Harbaugh down, listen to his story, and give him a direction that says, you need to do this, that he would listen to, right?
Yeah, but Pope Benedict died.
It's Judge Judy.
Oh.
Judge Judy is the only person who can convince Jim Harbaugh that he is wrong and he should apologize. So Michigan can, you know, have all the internal meetings and discussions they want, but until they get TV's richest woman to step up, look at this case. Now, the flip side is this. If he's already talked to Judy and she said, I think you're right. I didn't think they didn't have shit on you and you
She's
should
like,
fight
fuck
this.
The NCAA.
Yes. What? Then I think Jim Harbaugh
in my court.
What if he gets on the phone and Judy's like, I didn't get rich by paying for my own shit either.
I will say this. What's a more valid court? The NCAA or Judge Judy? I'll say Judge Judy because people accept those adjudications.
Yeah, it's not
yes,
even close.
That's right. Yeah. And also, people want to go on Judge Judy. Nobody wants to go to the NCAA. Here's
what if Judge Judy is eating 2 half-pound burgers every morning as well? And that's what they were talking about.
Competitive eaters always have frames like Judge Judy.
Yeah, true.
Judge Judy's like, I eat 2 half-pound burgers, then I don't eat another meal for the rest of the day. And I just sort of like
she understands. Fries and all? She's like, give me the Harbaugh burger. Yes. Absolutely.
Harburger.
That's why she's so that's
she
why
orders
she's
a Schembeckler.
So yes.
I
have one other thought, by the way.
Yeah,
that,
please.
That if this man is consuming a pound of ground beef with the bun and all of the trimmings and then has fries behind
how
it.
How many days a week do you think that's happening?
Then 9:30 a.m. in the football facility.
Does his office have its own bathroom?
It's got to be critical. No, I bet he's right there in the locker room. I bet he's like, nope, where the players go, it's where Jim's going, right here.
What do you think is the longest period of time Jim Harbaugh has gone without ingesting beef in some form?
Ooh. Has he ever been hospitalized?
6 minutes.
You think that beef...
Like, he has to wake up at night like a baby bird?
he's just got jerky from the ceiling.
He's got a jerky chewing all the time.
Gotta keep the level stable.
Confusing himself.
I mean,
he has a jerky dispenser like the thing in Wayne's World with the red vine in the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He may be at the point where... Even though his diet of beef and dairy solely is dangerous.
He's more protein now than man.
Right. If he stopped, he would have that withdrawal.
Iron Man is what you're saying.
You just got to keep it going or he'll die.
Jim Harbaugh has eaten so much red meat that he's magnetized at this point.
Isn't this like the Jordan Peterson diet? Like, wasn't this a thing on the
internet? And that's
for a
our
while?
Time, folks. thank you, everyone, for joining us.
I'm just happy to see that there's
the
a program doing things the right way.
We're going to eject from the podcast right now before we start thinking about other opinions Jim Harbaugh might have.
You should clean
thank
your
Happy room. January 6th.
Thank you, Spencer Hall. Happy January 6th to Mike Gundy, Kim Mulkey, and everyone else celebrating out there today. Happy anniversary of the time that lady got to meet Ronald Reagan. And please like and subscribe to the Shutdown Fullcast, DNF, and all other Meadowlark family shows. And good night.
Oh, wait. I have one thing real quick, just so you know.
Okay.
The one thing that makes me cast doubt on this story, on the menu, 2% milk or chocolate milk, $4. No refills.
They keep the hole in the back.
Jim would never. Jim would never go to a place that, A, didn't offer whole milk, and B, didn't give you refills.
Well, what do you think's in the jug?
Shit.
Is it? Does that come to the table, like water?
Yes.
That's why it's on the menu. Water's not on the menu.
All right, good night.
One jug.
Yeah. All right. Bye, everybody.